Blog Talk Radio.
Today's segment of the A New Day Show. Happy Sunday to you. And you all know that I'm always extremely excited when you make the decision to spend your Sunday evening with me. Some of you might just be having supper. Some of you might be in dessert time or just sitting with your family. But because all of our episodes are family-oriented, this is an amazing place for you to spend the time with your family and to listen to us. We already have a caller on the line. Caller, you are there, and I acknowledge you. If you want to speak to my guest, you can just, I think you press 1, which allows you to raise your hand. But I want to thank you for joining us this evening. And if you're in the chat room, I will be going back and forth from the studio to the chat room. So it's not that I am ignoring you, but I will get to you eventually. My guest for the first portion of today's show is Dr. Joe Rubino, who is hanging out with me in the virtual green room, and I will be bringing him on momentarily. Dr. Joe is the CEO of Center for Personal Reinvention. And you, for those of you who have been following my work and supporting my work, you all know that that's right up my alley. I'm always looking to reinvent or to support people who do that. So whenever I am introduced or I research and I find experts who do that, I always bring them on to add value to the platform and to invest in you, my listeners. I want to remind you that the number to call in to be part of this conversation is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And if you have Skype and you click on the Skype icon, it takes you right in the show. And before we get to the task at hand, I want to send out a big, 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 extra large congratulations to my friend, attorney Kathleen Williams in New York for putting on such an amazing event last night. For those of you who are aware that November 19 is International Men's Day, and I went down to New York and I celebrated with her because her company put on this event. It's the second time that they're honoring men of excellence. And it was just a phenomenal experience to watch a king being crowned as Man of the Year, and to see Mayor Dinkins and George Fraser. An award was given to Percy Sutton. His granddaughter picked that up. But it was a great thing to see that men are being honored, and that men are being placed in the in a position where they can allow their light to shine. Because too often we read and hear about deadbeat dads and all of that, and men honestly get a bad rap. But I want to just applaud Kathleen for putting a positive spin and light on them. Again, my sister, I congratulate you. And for all the many men who were awarded last night, I raise my hat to you. To Minister Abdul Hafi Mohammed, the brother rock. The brother rock. Because I tell you sometimes, you're on the outside looking in, and people get so religious and everything, and you really don't know what you don't know until you hear it, then you realize you didn't know. I've never heard a message from a Muslim until last night I heard the brother preach. And I tell you, it's nothing different from what I believe in. So I raise my hat to him. So without any further delay, I want to just introduce to you, my listeners, Dr. Joe Rubino. He's also here in the Northeast. He is up in Boston, and he's doing some phenomenal, phenomenal work there. So I don't want to keep you in suspense any longer. I want to bring on live to you, my listeners out there in Radio Land, Dr. Joe Rubino. Dr. Joe, how are you?
I'm great, Dr. Daphne. Thank you so much for having me this evening.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I want to just give you an opportunity to just like set the stage briefly. Use a few minutes to just tell the listeners who you are and what pointed you into the direction that you are now carrying on your journey.
Well, I'm happy to. For the first 37 years of my life, I was very much an introvert in all areas of my life. As a matter of fact, at age 37, I was, by society standards, a successful dentist. But by my own standards, I was quite a failure because I was not having fun at what I was doing. I was burnt out. I felt like the old saying, is this all there is to life? But I didn't think there was anything else that I could do in order to earn a living to support my family or to go and go out into the world and contribute to people. And that was because I wasn't in touch with my gifts. I wasn't in touch with my values. I was playing small. So long story short, I went into a year-long personal development program that turned into a 10-year program. And during those 10 years, I learned to become a life coach. And so now, forwarding fast, over the last 21 years, I've coached more than 1,000 different people to make their lives and their businesses work more optimally. During those years, I found that the same things that were holding me back are holding most people back. Lack of belief in themselves, lack of people's ability to see a compelling and an inspirational future for themselves. What I found, Dr. Daphne, is that in 99% of those cases, there was one predominant characteristic that was underlying everyone's ability to keep themselves stuck as opposed to moving forward, and that was low self-esteem.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I like the way you framed that, because a lot of people look around and they look at children and they would say, oh, that child or those children are going through a phase of low self-esteem. But as you and I as professionals know, that a large percentage of our society today who are adults, and some are have even reached retirement age, still need a lot of help in that area. Have you found that in your work as well?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, conservatively speaking, my estimates are that at least 85% of the people walking on the face of our planet have self-esteem issues in one or more areas of life.
That's right.
For some, it's pervasive, and others, mm-hmm. it's situational in one area or more areas.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, you mentioned about going in a program for X amount of years and spend much longer than you had entered for. And I smile because I'm saying, is that me talking or is Dr. Joe talking? And I have found out over the years that it is such a challenge to get folks to invest in themselves. I was having a telephone conversation with a global leader this week, and she's very influential in her field. However, I'm sure you'll support me by saying no one has ever arrived. Not until we are 6 foot under. So
right.
long as we are breathing the oxygen, we can still have some work done with us. However, this individual thinks that, oh, well, I've done this, I've been there, I've done that, I've worked alongside this person and that person. So I don't think coaching is for me, or I don't think this is for me. And I said to the person, are you still alive? And she giggled because apparently she thought it was funny when I asked her that. But what I was trying to say to her politely, not until you are dead are you through working with yourself. So I applaud you for the journey you are on. I applaud you for founding the Center for Personal Reinvention because it is needed in our society today. So, dentistry for a long amount of time, yet you know that there was a void and that something was missing. And you didn't sit around and have a pity party for yourself. You invested in you, and you actually started in the first year you went in to reinvent your life. But you find out that you could really turn the latch all the way around in your life, and you could help others do the same. And was that how the Center for Personal Reinvention was birthed?
It was. It started with my own reinvention, Dr. Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was that if someone who was as introverted and shy, I was so introverted that I would take my continuing education courses through the mail as a dentist because I was petrified to go and socialize with people that I didn't know at the local continuing ed classes. So
mm-hmm.
it was all about all the things that I had made up about myself and that kept me small and suffering and stuck. And these are the things that we all make up about ourselves that,
mm-hmm.
You know the ones that we're not good enough, we're unlovable, we're unworthy, we won't know what to say, we don't belong, any of those things.
And when you began cracking the lid on what was happening to you, I am sure that your colleagues in the dentistry arena thought that you were crazy.
Well, they did. But, you know, when they saw that I was having fun and I was impacting people's lives and I was living my life purpose, they started wanting more of it. So as a matter of fact, over the last 21 years, I've actually worked with hundreds of my own colleagues to make their lives work more optimally. I've worked with dentists and physicians and other healthcare professionals, as well as people in every other walk of life. So it's not just the health profession that can be stuck. Anyone can be stuck. And
That's
said something very interesting about not arriving. And what I found was that if you can enjoy the process, you really have it made, because life gives us so many opportunities to learn and to grow and to experience. And if
right.
we're not having fun and enjoying the process, if we're waiting for that day when something great will happen so that our life will miraculously transform, we're really missing out on all the gold that we're given
That's
on
right.
a daily basis that we're just not open to.
That's right. So for those people who are listening, and let me remind people, don't wait. Call in 646-915-8166 if you have a question. So, Dr. Joe, for those people who need it and need it from 20 years ago, where do they begin now? You and I know it is never too late, but how do they begin to take the first step now?
Well, I've created a program that has three components to it, Dr. Daphne. The first is healing and completing your past. So as long as you're incomplete with your past, you have decisions that were made when you were 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 6 years old that are still running your life because you have viewed the world through colored glasses where every time you have an upset, you reinforce the things that don't support you about yourself that you made up and about other people. So we could be in our 30s, 50s, 60s, 80s, and we're still operating out of interpretations that we made up as little children that don't support us. So once we've healed and completed our past, we have the ability to then do the second step, which is properly assess what's so in our lives today. What's working in our life and what's missing that if put into place would have our life be more fulfilling, have our relationships be more rewarding, have our life be more abundant and have wealth flow into us so that we could use it to do good. All of the things that we want in life are possible if we take responsibility for what's showing up around us, and we then can be in touch with our gifts, those things that make us special and unique that each of us has and most of us aren't in touch with. We can then declare what it is that we're going to be up to, and that's our life purpose. It's something that we would love to do for the next 300 or 400 years if we were to live that long. So when we're in touch with our most important values and what's most important to us, we then can design a future that's compelling and a vision for that future that's in choice, where every aspect of our life is clear as far as what we're going to be up to, and we can actually live from a declaration of who we've decided to be instead of the evidence that we've accumulated over the decades, it seems like centuries sometimes, that
That's
says,
right.
I'm just this way and there's not that much I can do about it.
That's right. So in other words, Dr. Joe, for one to begin to reinvent, it sounds as if action and decision are the two most important words that they need to embrace.
Absolutely. You know, vision without action is self-delusion, and it all begins with the decision. It begins with the decision to take some steps, even if they're baby steps, Dr. Daphne, as you know, where you can start taking some definitive action daily, and those actions add up so that over the course of a month or 6 months or a year or several years, you've actually created momentum in your life because you've had the courage to move in the direction of your vision, in the direction of your decision.
Over the years, it needs to be confidential, but over the years, would you like to share two cases that stand out in your mind of people that you helped to reinvent? I mean, things that was happening to them and it just wasn't going right, and to date, you are so pleased and so excited about the reinvention.
I'm happy to do that. There were more than 1,000 that people that I've worked with personally, but let me give you two that just were very meaningful for me.
Mm-hmm.
One was a woman who was, I believe she was 46 years old when I started working with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had encountered an abusive episode when she was 8 years old. Her mother said, don't go next door because I don't want you over there. And she disobeyed her mom. She put on her pretty yellow dress, went over to the neighbor's house, and she was abused by the neighbor. So she made up that she was a bad girl, that she wanted trouble, and she got trouble, and that people were bad and that they hurt you. And so she lived her whole life up from 8 until 46, she had 3 failed marriages, all to abusive men, because she had held it that Men were that way. Men were abusive, and she was a victim. And even though she didn't like being abused and she didn't like being a victim, this whole way that she saw the world was wrapped up in her identity. It made her raging mad. The anger was palatable. It was so strong for her from the point she was 8. And every time she would meet and interact with an abusive person, she would get to go have her fix. Just like a heroin addict gets a fix of heroin, she would get her anger, her rage. How dare you abuse me?
That was her her reality that she has embraced for her entire life.
That was her reality for sure, and she was recreating it as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Even though she hated being abused, she got to be a victim. She got to feel sorry for herself. She got to make herself avoid responsibility from picking men that would honor her. And
that's right.
So she kept this whole drama cycle in place just to be right about the fact that she was mistreated, she was a victim, the world was a cruel place, and people were mean and cruel to her.
When
you're in darkness, Dr. Daphne, as you know, it's hard to see the light. But when you shine a light on what's going on, you now have the ability to recreate a whole new possibility for yourself.
That's right.
And so after working with her for 6 months, she found, she actually met a new man who honored her, treated her well, and now 2 years later she's engaged to be married, and she's in a very rewarding relationship where she has taught someone how to respect her, and she has in fact respected others, and her whole energy has shifted to become a loving energy instead of a vengeful, hateful energy that was attracting all of these sick people into her life before.
Beautiful, beautiful. And the second person?
The second person was a person of color who grew up very angry about all of the injustices that society had put upon him. And he, too, was his predominant emotional state was anger. But it went very rapidly into sadness, and it actually became a depression for him. And Dr. Daphne, there's 280 million people who are addicted to sadness. These are people who are depressed because they feel like they can't control their environment. They can't get their dreams filled. They can't move their lives forward. And when he was able to reinterpret his life such that he was no longer a victim and actually that to be happy for his heritage, to be happy that he was blessed with the gift of his heritage, where he could go out and empower people with the struggles that he had overcome, and he could do good in the world. He gave up his right to victimhood, and he took responsibility for moving his life forward. He started living from love as opposed to living from this depressed, angry sadness that had characterized his life to that point. And he completely turned things around. He saw now all of the pain that he had experienced growing up. He now turned that by having empathy for what is it like in that other person's world for them to say or to do the things that were done to him. So he could now see that they weren't doing it to him. They were doing it because they were angry and sad and victims in their own right. And he just happened to be there and be a good excuse for them to play out their stuff with him.
That's right. That's right.
He was able to transform that pain into great contribution.
You know, people always think that everything that happens around them is about them. It's really not about you. You know, and those are two phenomenal stories. And I'm sure as people tune in to listen to this, whether they're listening live or on the archive, each and every person can say, I know someone who fits that mold, or that's me that Dr. Joe is talking about. So a lot of times, just like you and I, when we were going through our stuff and we thought that we were alone, oh no, there are a lot of other people out there, but not too many people decide to be bold and to make the decision to take action and to say, the box stops here. because some of these things have been going on for generation to generation to generation. And it comes a time when somebody got to break that mold and say, enough is enough. I don't want any more of that. And I just want to, again, commend you and your Center for Invention for making this available to people. I would like for you to give people a checklist if they want to kind of do a self-assessment to see whether they need reinvention in their lives. What would that checklist look like? Would you please give it to them? And afterwards, tell people how they can get more information about gaining access to the many wealth of things that you have to give around life reinvention.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And the first is, if you look at the six key areas of your life, those areas being your health and appearance, your wealth and finances, your occupation or your business, your relationships both within your family and outside of your family, your personal and spiritual development in life, and having fun and recreating and pursuing your passions. If you look in those six key areas of life, if you're not a 10 on a scale from 1 to 10, loving life, happy, thrilled with each of those areas, then you probably have some work to do in one or more of those areas. Also, high self-esteem has five components to it. The first is personal power, and that's our ability to influence others. So if you feel as though when you speak, others listen, you have the ability to have personal power, to manifest your ideas into reality. Another quality is competence, which is our ability to produce a result with velocity. And what that means is we have the idea, we manifest that idea with an intention. Our intention becomes real. We say, I want to attract wealth. We then design a plan that is grounded with goals that align with the vision of attracting wealth, so that we now deliberately and on purpose move competently in that direction. So if you have high self-esteem, you feel competent, like you can produce a result. The last three quickly are virtue, significance, and an appreciation for others. Those with high self-esteem feel like they're a good person. They feel like morally they're good. They're virtuous. If you don't feel that way about yourself, then that's an area for you to reinvent yourself. Significance is about being accepted and having the attention and the affection of other people. If you don't feel significant, you feel like people don't love you. You don't belong. And then the number five area of possessing high self-esteem is an appreciation for what it's like in the other person's world. When you have empathy for what is it like over there, it's not just about what can you do for me, which is high ego. And by my definition, if you have only high ego, you only care about yourself, at the expense of others, you don't have high self-esteem. So, recapping, if you don't feel personally powerful, significant, virtuous, competent, or have an appreciation for others, those would all be areas that you might be well served to reinvent yourself around. I'd like to give people two links, too, if I could, Dr. Daphne, to check out more of our work and to get some gifts.
Yeah, but before you do that, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, just kind of tell people about the services. I know you're going to give them the link, but tell them what you offer and tell them what books and things you have that can help them accomplish this list that you give them, and then you can give them the link, please.
I'm happy to do that. The first program that I'm going to talk about is a program that is based on my self-esteem system, and that involves the three components that I mentioned before: healing and completing your past, assessing your present so that you do a proper assessment of what's so now, and then designing a compelling future in choice. And it has about 50 exercises that you will map onto your life so that you can actually take your life from wherever you are to having it be a dream life, to living that best life of yours. And when you check out our site, just as a thank you, you'll see a free gift, and that is seven mini course lessons on elevating self-esteem. And you'll also receive a free audio and video, which are around building self-esteem. And this comes with a Success Club membership, which is a tip or a tool or a gift or something that will move your life forward every day of your life. So that's totally free, and that is all about this self-esteem system to reinvent yourself to live your best life. The second program is a program where part of my vision is to champion children. So if you yourself have children or you work with children, this is a program that might support you as well, and it's how to learn the principles so that you can empower children to live their best lives. And so do you need me to say anything more about either of those programs, Dr. Daphne?
I don't think, no. Just give them the contact information, how to get to those. And if you want to give a phone number, I don't know if you want to give a telephone number.
I can give that too.
Okay.
The first
please.
Link is http://. Dr. D-A-P-H, D-R-D-A-P-H, dot, total, T-O-T-A-L, S-E-L-F, total self, dot, hop, H-O-P, dot, clickbank, C-L-I-C-K-B-A-N-K, dot net. I'll say that again. D-R-D-A-P-H, dot, T-O-T-A-L, S-E-L-F, dot, H-O-P dot click, C-L-I-C-K-B-A-N-K dot net. That's all one word. The second site is almost the same with one word different. D-R-D-A-P-H, Dr. Daff, dot E-S-T-E-E-M, C-E-R-T, esteem, cert, E-S-T-E-E-M, C-E-R-T, dot H-O-P dot C-L-I-C-K, BANK.net.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Joe. Before you go, guess 29571. If you have a question for Dr. Joe before he goes, go ahead and call 646-915-8166. Guess 29034. If you have a question, you can do the very same. I want to ask Dr. Joe, is there anything else you want to say before you go? And I want to thank you for coming on and for adding value to the listeners, because we are in a time now where everybody's pointing the finger and you hear people talking about whose fault it is. Not too many people I hear saying it is my responsibility. So I want to thank you for continue to shine in light into the dark places and to let people know that it's not about the fault, but it's about the decision and the action that we all decide to take. So I commend the work you are doing.
Well, thank you, Dr. Daphne, and thanks to all of the people listening in this evening. And I would like to leave everyone with a challenge. And that challenge is that, as you said, Dr. Daphne, it's not about fault or blame. It's about being responsible, able to respond in a way that serves you, to move your life forward, so that if your life isn't rewarding, if your relationships aren't rich and fulfilling, if your work isn't the kind of work that you would do whether you were paid or not because you love it so much, if not abundant so that you have the abundance to share with others, if you don't love life in every single way, if you're not happy and joyful and spreading that joy, then I at least invite you to get the free gifts that are available on those two websites, to map them onto your life, and to see if you can't take that responsibility for moving your life forward. And I promise you this, it starts with a decision, and it takes a bit of courage to change the habits. But once you do something different for 30 days, you develop a new habit. And at that point, you'll be unstoppable. So I wish you all the best, and God bless everyone.
Thank you, Dr. Joe, and I look forward to having you back on the show again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Daphne, for your great work as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was Dr. Joe Rubino from the Center of Personal Reinvention, and they are over there in Boston. They are doing some amazing work over there. And again, the links that you can visit to get the special price, if you are a listener from the show, it's http://drdaph http://totalscelf.hop.clickclickbank.net. And the other link is http://drdaph.steemcert.hop.clickbank.net. And listen, what better gift to give yourself than the gift of personal empowerment and personal development? You're always buying some thing that does not add any value to people's lives. So why not make a gift of reinventing their lives? You will be glad you did, and they will love you for showing them the light. So take a trip over there and visit those sites and look at it and see. It's time for us all to look in the mirror and say, enough is enough. I am sick and tired of just making it by and settling for mediocrity. So for the next portion of the show, we are going to continue with the book discussion about what's possible. And on this journey of life reinvention, there's a lot of things that are possible that you are not utilizing, and then we are going to go into some of those. We're going to share from these stories. But before I do that, I want to just go to the Vision Weekend Conference coming up on March the 23rd through the 26th. I want to introduce you once again to the platform. It is going to be a vision transformation revolution taking place in Times Square. We are going to be rocking Times Square. So if you are looking to transform your life, this is the place you want to be on March the 23rd through the 26th. On the platform are Simon T. Bailey, billionaire and founder of the Brilliance Institute, Mr. Willie Crawford. Willie is a joint venture guru and a millionaire. Crystal Washington, marketing and social media strategist. Jan Mullock, master of positive achievement specialist. Leon Ellis, restaurateur, entrepreneur, and motivational speaker. Brian Ridgway, transformational teacher and mentor. Ariella Mitchell Durant, attorney and speaker. Stephen Jackson, who calls himself the original geek, he is a new media guru. Dr. Cheryl Cuttle, strategic planner and business development consultant. Sam Orr, who is the founder of One Voice Worldwide. James Nemley is the CEO and founder of the Better Business Builders. And Chandel Pitts is a design consultant. Jennifer Suttle is an author and strategic expert. Then we have Dr. CJ Conan, who is a business development consultant. We have Mr. Edward Foxworth III, personal productivity strategist. And we have William Cohn, who is also a business development consultant, and they specialize in helping you set up your business for less than $500. And coming all the way from Israel, Mr. Kobe Huberman, who is the head of the Peace Initiative in Israel, and Kobe is also the CEO of Lands Strategic Landscape Limited. And I am so honored to be the founder and host of this amazing, amazing conference. So, again, we want to see you there on March the 23rd through the 26th. Now, again, every Monday, we started last Monday the 14th of November. And every Monday leading up to March the 19th, which is the week before the conference, we are having a show on the Building Your Extraordinary Business, which the host is Mr. James Nemley. And every Monday between the hours of 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we will be featuring one of the speakers on that show. And tomorrow's speaker on that show will be Mr. Leon Ellis, who is from Harlem. He owns a few businesses in New York, and he's going to be on sharing his expertise with you. And he's also going to be at the Vision Weekend Conference sharing with us about how we can reinvent our lives and how we can make things be better for us. So mark your calendar. The website is active. The website is visionweekendconference.com. So go there and just check us out and just sign up to be there.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, so thank you again. I want to thank Dr. Joe Rubino for coming in and spending the first segment, the first portion of this segment with us, speaking with us about self-esteem and how he propelled from being a successful dentist into now someone who is helping other dentists to reinvent their lives and to just have fun with what they are doing. So again, we thank you, and we encourage you to visit the links there that you can tap into the services and products that he is offering. And the links again is http://drdaph.totalself.hop.clickbank.net. And the other one is http://drdaph.esteemcert.hop.click.net. So visit those, and then we look forward to hearing your story here on the A New Day Show. So, and as we started 2 weeks ago sharing from the book and discussing the book, What's Possible? Today's story, I want to share the story of George Roundy, advocate for the hunger. And his story, the heading of George's story is Healing Myself, Healing My World. It's a happy day when you wake up weighing 370 pounds. Well, it's a happy day if it is the last day you'll be that way. I remember the day I decided that rather than losing the weight, which I always seem to find again, I was going to release it forever. The fat was no longer serving me. But the real story is how I made $50,000 in the process, and at the same time empowered a whole bunch of hungry people to end their hunger. When you grow up fat with the last name like Roundy, it is no joke. We Roundies were big in more than one, in more ways than one. I have 6 sisters and 2 brothers. Several of us were affected with severe, nearly life-threatening obesity. My sister eventually lost 145 pounds on Weight Watchers and is healthy to this day. She inspired me in my journey. My story was a little different. At my heaviest, I weighed 370 pounds. I had a very poor relationship with food. I used it for stress relief, to kill bad feelings, to make myself feel better, to cure boredom, to celebrate, and so on. I tried many different kinds of diets, but nothing worked. I always ran into the same challenges time and again. Those of you who struggle with obesity know what I mean. I came to believe that there was nothing that I could do about my weight, and worse, that I didn't really matter anyway, so losing weight would not make a difference. All was not doom and gloom in my life either. I have 2 wonderful sons, a beautiful wife, 2 grandchildren, a successful business, and many great things to live for. But resignation about my weight totally clouded my perspective. It's always different to put your finger on that challenge and what changes within you. But my 50th birthday was coming, and it definitely affected me. I didn't want to live the rest of my life with this extra pound. The main change was attending a landmark leadership seminar where we were given an assignment to create a project that would touch the world. A seminar leader, Condi Rogers, came up with that. I thought that was a brilliant idea. Her goal was to lose 125 pounds and raise $25,000 in sponsorship money for a very special cause. Her cause was to buy a bicycle for every child attending a school for homeless children. Not only did she succeed, but she exceeded far beyond just giving away bicycles. How? She influenced the thinking of an important person, me. From Condi's example, I created the As We Heal, the World Heals Project. My goal was to lose 150 pounds in 1 year and raise $50,000 in support for the Hunger Project, a movement founded 30 years ago to end hunger in sustainable ways. With 20,000 people dying every day from hunger, helping in the hunger cycle through supporting the Hunger Project became my do or die trying passion. This combination of healing myself and healing the world struck me as a perfect solution. I choose the Hunger Project because it's making an impact on the world. Working at the grassroots level, it empowers people living in abject poverty and chronic hunger, primarily in sub-Saharan Africa, South Asia, and Latin America, to end their own hunger and build lives of self-reliance. As I began my own personal weight program, I was filled with so much fear. Much would I run into the same obstacle that beat me before? What would I do then? How would my life change? How would I live without my security, my entertainment, my comfort? Did I deserve good health? Was I worthy of it? While those fears swirl around my head, there were also signs that I was heading down the right path. I sent letters to everyone I knew, telling them about my project. It was a pretty homespun operation, but it worked perfectly. Pledges and donations began flooding in from hundreds of people. I found my thinking starting to shift about way too. For instance, I discovered that words were very important in how I thought about beating my lifetime dependency on food. Rather than lose weight, I decided to release the weight. I realized whenever I lost everything, something, I would always try to find it. That's certainly what always happened to me with my weight. Every pound I ever lost, I found again, and then some. However, by releasing the weight, I was telling myself that the extra pounds no longer served me, and they were free to go forever. Of course, thinking itself doesn't burn a lot of calories. So I took some particular steps as well. I consulted with a physician. I hired a fitness coach, and I began eating better. After all these years of crushed diets, this time I decided not to use one. Instead, I committed myself to eating smaller, more frequent and healthy meals to keep my metabolism high. And I did reflexology, energy work on obvious parts of my body that were focal points for my stress. Regular exercise 5 to 6 times a week became a priority as I built into my lifestyle. My fundraising focus also gave me new motivation to exercise. I remember one evening I arrived home late, about 11 p.m. I hadn't worked out that day, and it bothered me like never before. Then the thought struck me that there are women all over Africa at that moment who rise up at 4:30 in the morning and work until 10 at night just to feed their families. Caller, your last four digits are 8077. I'm going to open your line. If you have anything to say, you can say it. If not, you do not have to respond. I think I kind of know who this is, but I'm still going to try. Come on.
Hi, this is Rach in Bethel.
Hi, Rach. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Great two shows here. I just wanted to say that I hadn't really thought of the minority business, you know, the business
uh-huh.
is starting that up. And your guests are very, very good as far as explaining things. And I'm so glad you had them on. And it's an education for me. Not only do you preach and teach, but you actually, you know, explain it so that you really, really make somebody think. And I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, Rich. And for those of you who don't know who Mr. Richard Merritt is, he is such a phenomenal man in the town of Bethel. He is one that has taken volunteering to a new level. This gentleman, he has a grandchild. I think maybe the grandchild must be two or three. And he's busy being a grandfather, yet he's on maybe three or four boards in the town of Bethel. And volunteer for like maybe four, five, or six of the cable TV shows that run on Comcast in Danbury. So, Richard, I thank you. And you know I hold you dear to my heart. I just appreciate your family for sharing you with me. Because a lot
well,
of
I
my,
appreciate that.
Yes,
yes
you come and you make me look good.
Well, I could have a bad day, and when I come to your show and direct or do the camera work, it really perks me up. So you brighten up my day, even though the day hasn't been going good. So I look forward to always doing your show. And I learn so much, and I think that a lot of people appreciate, you know, your volunteerism doing the Comcast Access TV. So I will hang up and I'll let, you know, other people get in for the final moments. But
thank you, Richard. That was my friend and volunteer and chief senior cameraman, Mr. Richard Merritt. As a matter of fact, he's cameraman, he's director, he's everything. He just is such a well-rounded gentleman and has a phenomenal family and still find time to give back to the community. We need a lot more people who decide that, as a matter of fact, Dr. Joe spoke about reinventing your life. You know, the new year is coming up. Why don't you find something that you can do to volunteer for at least an hour a week? Start with 1 hour a week. I am sure you can find something that you can do to make a difference in someone's life for an hour. You don't have to start as much as Richard Merritt is doing or anybody else, but just carve out an hour of your time that will allow you to give back to your community, and then call us here and tell us how that is going. So, yes, I'm going back now to George Round's story here. So my fundraising focus also gave me new motivation to exercise. I remember one evening I arrived home late at about 11 p.m. I didn't work out that day, and it bothered me like never before. When the thought struck me that there are women all over Africa at that moment who rise at 4:30 in the morning and worked until 10 p.m. at night to feed their families. Comparing to the average and commitment of these women, my 11 p.m. workout was a snap. That was April 2006. And by April 2007, I had reached my goal. I had released 150 pounds and had attained the best shape of my life, with supporters pledging a certain dollar amount for every pound I released. I raised the $50,000 to help end hunger. I guess you could say I was healed. In hindsight, I can tell you that the hardest part of this whole project was the fear that consumed me when I first began. When I finally surrendered the fear and refused to allow it to rule me any longer, my life changed radically. I am now committed to a fundraiser every year until hunger is stripped up, is wiped out. My new project is hiking from the Grand Canyon on Memorial Day 2008. I am taking hundreds of people with me, and each will raise at least $1,000 for the Hunger Project. I feel that I've been given a second chance to devote to something that is meaningful and enormous. Let me urge you to learn a lesson from my experience. Whatever your biggest problem, your biggest obstacle, your biggest fear, use it to make a difference. Be creative in how you leverage your biggest pain to open your heart to the passion that lives deep within each and every one of us. Here is Darian's takeaway from George's story. I love how George learned to use language to advantage. Losing weight didn't work for him because, as he says, he always left compelled to go find it again, which he did too successfully. But deciding it didn't serve him anymore brought about a big shift. He would now release it from his life. What habits, feelings, or relationship no longer serves you in your life? What kind of amazing gifts would you have room to receive if you release that which no longer serves you? Now, I am going to be bold, and I'm going to invite you to call in 646-915-8166 and release with me as I release a few things that no longer serves me well either. On global radio, I'm going to be releasing some things of my own. I encourage you to call in 646-915-8166 and do it here too. I'm going to give you time on an open forum here to release some things that does not serve you right well anymore. So today, I publicly declare and announce that I have made the decision to publicly on global radio release these things that does not serve me well and serve me any longer. And I now publicly release them forever. I release lack of finances because that does not serve me. And I now choose to attract abundant wealth. I release non-paying clients who has been a parasite to my business. And I now make the decision to attract corporate paying clients. I now make the decision publicly to attract only those individuals who are ready to invest in their reinvention and are willing and can afford to pay me to guide them in doing that. I also now publicly declare that I will release being single because that does not serve me any more. And I am willing and I've made the decision to attract the man in my life who will be my friend, who will be my supporter, a God-fearing man who loves me and treats me like a queen. And we will live to serve others and to be compensated for the skills and talents that the Lord has given us. I now also declare that no more will I not be able to go on vacations to the prominent places that I choose to go. I release not going on vacation, and I now attract vacations to Europe, to Asia, to all over the world. I encourage you to call in 646-915-8166, and I will allow you to publicly declare, just like George did, those things that you are releasing that no longer serve you well. What is it that if you release, it will open up a whole door, a store? It's like a storehouse of blessing is going to come just pouring into your life. Step out, be bold, put away pride, put away shame, and use this radio show today to publicly declare the things that you will not hold on to any longer because they are not serving your life any longer. So I will continue in sharing the story of Stephen Dale. However, I will continue to watch the switchboard, and if you call in, I will give you time to share what it is you want to publicly declare and let go out of your life. Born with a mark of greatness. Stephen Dale, teenage musician and inspiration for kids with facial difference. When you look at my face, you'll see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and a large birthmark. It's been there since I was born. 17 years ago, I was thankful for the birthmark, as I am for my eyes, nose, and mouth. I believe I was born with a mark of greatness, and I am decided to teach other kids with facial differences the same thing about themselves. My birthmark is impossible to miss. It's pink and reddish in color. I cover the left half of my face, stretching down my neck and chin and a little bit over my Adam's apple. Doctors call it a port wine stain. It's rarely a muscular malfunction where the veins in that part of the skin are dilated more than normal. Those veins become bigger and create the red pigment. I rarely noticed something was different about me when I was 5 or 6 years old. Kids in elementary school started making fun of me and made me self-conscious. It's true that kids can be cruel. I remember one boy said, "You were so ugly when you were born. Your mom spanked you on the face, and that's how you got that red mark." The mark was actually darker when I was younger. It has become lighter as I've grown. There's still no missing it. But when I was little, it was also like a mask I wore every day. I was taunted endlessly by kids who called me red face. I learned early on who my real friends were. Some kids played with me, but when the other boys would come around, they would go with them and join them in taunt. Somehow I knew how to turn this around. I decided there wasn't anything wrong or different about me. Instead, I determined that the birthmark made me better than the other kids. I took it so far as to feel sorry for them. They must be jealous that I am special. How boring and sad it must be not to have a birthmark on your face and to look ordinary just like everybody else. I never wished I didn't have my birthmark. All people have something that builds their character and turns them into people they became. For me, it was my birthmark. It has motivated me to work hard at everything I do, including pursuing my number one passion, music. My grandfather was a jazz musician in New Orleans, who taught me just about everything I know. I started playing drums when I was only 4 years old. As long as I can remember, I would play for anybody who would listen. A defining moment in my life came in seventh grade. I was new at the junior high school and entered the talent show. I was taking a real big chance that night because all the popular kids were in the show. I walked on stage acting clumsy and shy. When I started playing my drums very slowly and offbeat like, it was the first time I ever played the drums. The cool kids didn't get my act at all and started to ask, "Who is this guy? Where did he come from?" When I heard them ask, "What's on his face?" they almost laughed me off the stage. But then I suddenly stopped playing and stood up. The crowd thought I was going to quit. Instead, I reached into my back pocket, pulled out a handkerchief, tied it around my head as a blindfold. I sat down and played the best drum solo of my life. The crowd went crazy. When I was done, the entire gym gave me a standing ovation. Woo, that's what I'm talking about. I won the talent show that night. A year later, I was accepted into the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. It's where the best young musicians in New Orleans go to be trained. Now I've taken my music to the next step and I've started to write songs. I actually wasn't that good when I started writing lyrics. I realize now it's because I was trying to copy what was on the radio pop music with a lot of oh baby baby stuff songs about breaking up with girlfriends and things like that. Nothing was connecting. Then I felt the inspiration to connect the music, something I love, to my birthmark. Something else I love. I also wanted music that sounded different from the typical pop music you hear on the radio. That's how I started writing inspirational songs, and everything just clicked from there. Sometimes I like writing the whole song. Sometimes I like adjusting the lyrics of songs that are played on the radio. Stand Alone is one of my early favorites. It's actually getting back at the kids who made fun of me. I first heard the original song when I was 8 years old. It was in the animated movie, The Quest for Charlotte, The Quest for Camelot, which had a blind character who sang Stand Alone. Now that I am older, I have added some phrases of my own phrase that focus more on facial differences. Despite all the lies I have faced them, I have tried. And now my heart knows just what it means to fight. For I have felt all the pain, I've heard all your lies, but I have learned how to survive. With this mark, I have embraced the kisses the angels put on my face. I heard my word with no one else. All by myself, I stand alone. It's the message I want other kids with facial differences to hear. I'm saying, hey, I stand alone. I don't care what you say about me or anyone else with my facial differences. You don't need society to tell us what we are supposed to look like. My music has inspired me to take it to the next step and start the Stephen Dale Project. I want to make the whole world better for some people living with vascular malfunction, birthmarks, cleft palates, cars, or other facial differences. I do that by posting my music on my website along with the pictures of famous people who have facial differences. Singer Aaron Neville has a facial birthmark. Tina Turner has a Portman's birth stain like I do. NFL quarterback Drew Brees has a birthmark on his right cheek. Anchorman Tom Brovac and Oscar nominee actor Joaquin Phoenix were each born with cleft palate. I want kids to see that the sky is the limit for what they can achieve. I also include links to inspirational movies and plays and links to websites where kids can find help and support. The response has been amazing. I love going through all the emails, reading the impact I have on people's lives. I heard from parents and kids, and I can see that I am doing this for other people, not just for me, it turns out I don't have to stand alone. Because of all that, I can honestly say I'm glad I have my birthmark. It made me who I am today. I wouldn't take all the money in the world to have it removed. It's my mark of greatness. I'm finishing up high school and heading off to college soon. I plan to keep writing music. I want to write that magical song that gets you to the core and make you cry. It's time for the next step to inspire all sorts of people, even those without facial differences. Here are Dara's takeaway. Stephen's story shows the power of the mind. Stephen decides for himself what his birthmark represents. We each have that power to define ourselves. What is something in your life that others may define as negative that you can choose to define as positive? This is amazing. Next week, I will continue with the story of Raising Hope. And this is a Saul Raising story, a professional cyclist and brain injury survivor. So this is amazing story that we are continuing to share each week until we are finished with these 50 stories. And again, I want to remind you to please join me tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Eastern when I will be co-hosting with Mr. James Nemley of Building Your Extraordinary Business, when we will be joined by Mr. Leon Ellis, restaurateur, entrepreneur, and inspirational motivational speaker out of Harlem, New York, who is also on the platform for the Vision Weekend Conference 2012. And I just want to remind you that our speakers are Simon T. Bailey, Leon Ellis, Jan Muller, Crystal Washington, Willie Crawford, Brian Ridgway, Ariella Mitchell Durant, C.J. Conin, Will Conin, Stephen Jackson, Cheryl Cuttle, Sam Orr, Jim Nemley, Chandel Pitts, Jennifer Sertle, Edward Foxworth III, and Kobe Huberman. And I am so privileged to be the host and founder of this conference. So we look forward to seeing you on the 23rd through the 26th of March at the Broadway Millennium Hotel. Please visit the site. It's visionweekend.com. We are on Facebook as Vision Weekend. We are on Twitter at Vision Weekend 1. So stop there, like our fan page, and just like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we look forward to seeing you there as a vendor. We are looking for unique things to be there with the vendors. We have amazing things going on, fashion show, live entertainment with top performers, and just amazing, amazing things that we are going to have lined up there for you. So check out the website, register early, because I have a strong inclination that it's going to be filling up quickly. So again, I'm so honored to have been on here. I want to go again. I want to thank Dr. Joe Rubino for coming on and sharing about his reinvention program. And remember, the site that was the link that was developed for people who go from the show to get the special prize is drdap.estem.hop www.clickbank.net, and also http://www.drdaph.totalself.hop.clickbank.net. So stop by there and just invest in yourself. And I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And remember, stop by the show site and mark it favorite. Leave a comment for us and let us know what the show has been doing for you. Again, I thank you. I pray for your continued success. And for those of you who may not join in on Wednesday, I want to wish you happy, happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that all of you choose to support the work that I do.
He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change